This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Hello and good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Sharad Kutan and Joyce Goh here with me. It's coming up to just 9 minutes after 9 o'clock on Monday, the 14th of May. Now, in this hour, we're going to be joined by independent business analyst P. Gunnar Segrim on our Pressing Matters show. And Gunnar will be, I guess, joining us to discuss a little bit more about this Council of Eminent Persons, as well as what to expect in terms of economic policy with the new Pakatan Harapan government, and really how to make sense of all the noise that's happening with comments from Rafizi Ramli and Subang MP Wong Chen.
I'm looking forward to actually Gunnar sort of giving us a wisdom that comes from having been around for a long time, as a perspective on what's happening now, right? You know, compared to other transitions we've had. I mean, maybe not as dramatic and as, you know, far-reaching as this one is, but nevertheless, going back in history, telling us a little bit about the people that are on the council. I mean, right. There's Hasan Marakan, there's Zeti Akhtar Aziz, there's Jomo Sundaram, there's Tundai Zainuddin, and then there's Robert Kwok.
Yes,
when is he flying in?
Interesting. We don't know yet, but you know, Gunnar, being a veteran business journalist, will be able to shed some light on, you know, the careers these eminent people have had. So we'll be joined by Gunnar in about half an hour, so make sure you stay with us right here on The Morning Run. But for now, on the very first day of trading under a new Pakatan Harapan government, we have the early movers, Joyce.
Yeah, so let's look at the FBM-KLCI first. Right now, this morning is down 1.27% to 1,824.05 points. Looking at the top volumes for this morning, we have Sapura Energy, Eden Inc., Sumatech Resources, CIMB Group, Berjaya Corp, and Opcom Holdings.
Mm.
Yeah, and top gainers, 10 minutes into 9 o'clock this morning, we have slowly coming up.
Right. And I think all focus will be on some stocks that are politically linked and or heavily dependent on government contracts. Yeah,
that's right. So the top gainers, we have Trevon Global, Eden Inc., Opcom Holdings, MK Land, and Ewan Berhad. So those are the top gainers. So Opcom is the company that is linked to Dato
Mokhzani. Yes, yeah. Right.
So we have top losers for this morning, Kuskapi, T7 Global, XL Force, Destiny, Gabungan AQSR, and George Kent. Hmm. George Kent, and also my EG. Yeah.
I'm hearing a lot of politically linked stocks there, stocks that are linked to government contracts, my EG being one of them as well. But you know what? Let's for now cross over to an analyst to help us make sense of these market movements. We have on the line with us Mohd Reza Abdul Rahman, head of MIDF Research. Hi, good morning, Reza. Thanks for joining us. Now, some analysts were expecting near-term volatility in the equity markets. How's your reaction been since in the last 11 minutes of market open?
Good morning, ladies. I think we are quite happy to see that there's not much of a major reaction at the moment. Looking at the market now, it's at 1823, which is quite good considering that the previous few months have seen markets go down as low as about 1750.
Right. And what are some of the factors you reckon that has avoided the knee-jerk reaction that many, many analysts were expecting?
Well, there's two. The first and foremost is the assurance that made by Tun Mahathir that he said that he intends to build Malaysia's economy with the help of domestic and foreign investors. And secondly, we take comfort that the Council of Elders has, in between them, expert in both fiscal and monetary policies in former Finance Minister Tun Dato' Zainuddin and also former Bank Negara Governor Tan Sri Zeti Akhtar Aziz. In addition to that, since Malaysia is has very high dependencies on commodities, we also happy to see the appointment of former Petron CEO Tan Sri Asia American and Hong Kong-based merchant tycoon Tan Sri Robert Kwok. Furthermore, in a push to move Malaysia towards developed nation status, we also see the appointment of Professor Jomo, which is an expert in developmental economics.
Well, Reza, the week prior to elections, foreign investors were net sellers of Malaysian equities. However, year to date, there were net inflows into local stocks of more than 3 billion ringgit. So what's the projection for foreign fund flows for Malaysian stocks in the near future?
I think for now, with the new government being formed under Pakatan Harapan, we do expect some level of foreign attrition in the short term as political certainties happens up until at least the full appointment of the cabinet minister. For this year, the foreign net inflows is expected to be lower than last year's 10.3 billion inflow in lieu of not only the uncertainties from the local domestic politics, but also the headwinds caused by geopolitical events such as the U.S. pulling out of the Iran nuclear accord, the crisis in Venezuela, and of course the future interest rate hikes by Federal Reserve and also the Bank of England.
Because this question of a retail participation, the stock market seems to have fallen off in the run-up to GE14, it going in quite the opposite direction from institutional investors. Do you expect that they will return to the markets? Will they expect a pickup in the near term?
I think that would be a challenge, considering that historically trading activities tend to be seasonally low during the months of May up to about August and September. But what is different this time is the incentives given to encourage investment into mid and small cap stocks, which could mitigate this issue. Hopefully also, if the current results isn't shown to be good, that will also help to provide some boost for the market as well.
Well, now with the G14 overhang over, which sectors are on the list for you to watch?
The measures in the manifestos were particularly on people's well-being, which includes, among others, removal of GST tolls and lowering of car prices. These are expected to improve consumer sentiment and boost domestic demand, which bodes well for consumer and automotive sectors. In addition, the emphasis of affordable housing will also be positive for the banking sector to steer loans growth trajectory to, and also for the property sector as well.
Right. Quick look at the ringgit now, Reza. I mean, do you have a near-term outlook for the ringgit? Do you think it will be driven primarily by domestic drivers, or are you looking more about the global factors driving the ringgit?
Well, we saw the deep knee-jerk reaction post-election where ringgit goes as high as 4.0341 US dollar, but that were due to the concern of the economic policies, especially those related to election promises. However, we think that despite the GST and toll abolishment will be negative to the government revenue for now, but we reckon that the Pakatan Harapan government will have measures in place to fill in the gap. And that, of course, will influence a movement of ringgit as well. However, with the sound economic fundamentals, elevated and stable commodity prices, and strong external demand, will support ringgit in the medium term. Hence, we are currently maintaining our ringgit forecast at about 4 ringgit on average, and probably ringgit will hit 3.95 at year-end.
All right, so that's 4 ringgit and 3.95 perhaps by you. And thank you so much for joining us. That was Muhammad Reza Abdul Rahman, head of MIDF Research. We'll be back with more news and analysis on the local stock market. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.